Welcome to our second series of five for the management of testers. It's a pleasure to have you listen in on our ideas and exchanges on a question that we'll be introducing to you. My name is Frida Brazel, and I have with me four other podcasters.
Hi, I'm Daria Bailey.
I'm Mark Brown.
Hi, I'm Cordell Francis.
And this is Anu Sherman.
Thank you. We are so glad to have this opportunity to share with you a question. The question that we have pondered on is really a problem for several organizations, not only in the United States, but across the world. The question is, with budgets being cut for training on businesses, what alternatives exist to make leaders out of technocrats? The definition of technocrats that we're using is really somebody who is an expert at what they do. So, for example, you are the best processor in an organization, and you are identified as being able to process the most number of claims, and then you get appointed to being a master, but there's no training that really allows you to segue from being an individual contributor or a technocrat to becoming a leader. Another example that I'll share with you is you are the best nurse in a case management process. You understand all the diagnosis, you understand how to influence and get many cases met, and you are appointed as a leader. How do you take on the skill sets of being able to influence, being able to understand the administrative aspects of what you need to do, as well as creating a culture within your team? And then also, as is expected of every manager and leader, how do you continue to improve your business and raise the bar? So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I will invite my other podcasters to weigh in on this question.
Okay, so actually I thought about this question, and it said with budgets being cut for training, so everyone's cutting training budgets. So what everyone is saying is that we got to figure out a better way to use that money. What better way to use money than to train your employees? I think when we cut funding from training, we cut the ability to educate our population.
So the question is there an alternate way to exist and to make technocratic leaders other than training?
Well, I think it's really more, how do we turn people who are technocrats into good leaders?
Frida?
Can you hear us?
Frida?
All right,
we'll
go ahead and start this.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Well, now we can.
Oh. Okay.
What happened?
Keep going, we'll just edit.
Keep going, we'll just edit it.
Can she hear us now? No.
Can you
hear? I'm sorry, what happened? I had interference. I'm sorry, what happened?
We lost
we
you.
We lost you.
I'm sorry, I'm back.
Okay.
I had interference.
Okay. Okay. So,
let's continue. Go ahead.
We're going to keep on and then we'll go back in.
Are we still taping?
Yes.
We're
going to edit it out.
We'll just edit it. We're not going to get rid of what we said in the beginning. So, I think that we need to rethink cutting budgets when we think about cutting training out of budgets, because employees need to receive training in order to remain current and relevant on what's going on in their organization.
I concur. And I just kind of wanted to talk about the importance of training managers to be good leaders, because we have a lot, as Frida said, we have a lot of managers out there who are good at what they do, but they're not very good leaders. And so, you know, it's important to an organization to invest in leadership training for their best and brightest in order to improve efficiencies and effectiveness of the organization, to improve morale, improve retention of employees, because everybody knows when you have a bad leader, it causes people to start leaving. And it also forces down your bottom line. You start to see your company shrink. But likewise, if you have good leaders and good and high-level positions, you then see your company grow. You start seeing people's interest grow in your company. You start retaining the best and the brightest, and you start to draw people to your organization. So there is truly an importance to getting strong leaders out there versus just people who are good at what they do.
Yeah, and when I was looking at this as well, is Won't everybody agree that people have to be provided with the right resources and tools to make them better? The question is, what is the alternative? So as I was thinking through what are the alternatives, I thought through what is it that training budgets do afford cities. Training budgets are typically used for allowing associates and employees to go to external training conferences. They are also helping them training a group of people. And I'll just go back to the first one. Training allows them to go outside to external training, which allows them to, you know, coming back to our first podcast, network with others that are in the industry. So if you're not going to send your staff to other people to to create networks, then you have to think about alternatives of bringing networks into the organization. There, with all the advances, there's more technology that's offered online in terms of training that businesses can wait on. And when I think through the whole aspect of identifying what are the outcomes that are targeted for the training, but how to still achieve the outcome, but in a less expensive but more accessible way.
So Frida, one of the ideas that I kind of came up with there is, and I've seen it in practices, companies develop relationships with other companies, and they do kind of like a leader swap, if you will. And so I don't know the specific term for it, but basically a person goes on loan to an organization for, like, let's say, a six-month period, and they go and they learn the business from the other company's perspective to kind of increase their skills and their knowledge of how it's done. Another thing that I've seen is internally to organizations, we do it particularly within the Department of Defense, is you'll have rotational assignments. And so somebody in the acquisition world will go to what we call the head chair, the director's office, and they'll work there to learn the business, if you will. So they may be an expert at acquisition process, but then they go and they work in the front office for a while to learn all of the other aspects of managing an organization. So they learn how their piece plays into the large organization mission and goals.
But does that cost money to do? Is that coming out of a training budget?
No, because it's all internal to the organization. So you're just moving people around for a short period. So the cost to the organization would be that you lose, you know, employee X for 6 months, you know, but it's all within your larger organization. But let's say the acquisition shop loses employee X for 6 months because he's working in the director's office learning the whole spectrum of business operations.
So is this an informal or formal type of training when you send somebody else?
It's a formal training, but it's an employee sort of rotation. And so I rotate an employee throughout various offices within the organization over the course of 6 months. Or 3 months. You can determine however long you want it to be. It could be just a two-week rotation. I go up, I learn a little bit about how the business of whatever it is that we do and how we do it.
So when organizations don't have the opportunity to do that, is it possible to make a technocratic leader? Is it possible to have a technocratic leader?
So when we're talking about ways to train people when you don't have a budget, there's no cost to this because we're all within, let's say, the University of Maryland system. I'm just moving a person from their organization within the university over to here so that they can learn a different business process. And that in that way, I'm helping to expose you to a larger world than what you've already known. And that is leadership training because you're learning more than just what you know.
Yes, and that's a very strategic...
I was going to say that I agree with Cordell because aside from the cross-training benefits that come up, there is the opportunity to start thinking differently. And as I was looking at this question, thinking through Caleb's scientific management theory, which is really looking at how can we make our process more efficient. When you are cross-training and you allow associates or employees to start seeing things in different values and different ways, you can bring in those golden nuggets. Yes. So it is not a economic cost per se in terms of you're hiring additional FTE, you're expanding your associate way of thinking, and you are also helping the organization become more more collaborative, because a big situation that you have is the siloed thinking that a lot of organizations have, where they're not thinking across their unique departments, as well as cultural aspects of it. So I agree with Critical that those are ways that can help manage the expense while still training a technocrat who may not have had an opportunity to think outside of their scope of responsibility.
May I offer a different just perspective, just for the sake of conversation?
Okay.
And that is, I shared with Mark earlier today that I was having a conversation with a former manager, and she said, we've done six box training, we've done TQM training, all of this mental leadership is great for people who have the mental capacity to do it. She said, whatever happened to people just coming to work and learning how to do a job and getting it done? Taking ownership of what you do to get the job done, where training wouldn't be necessary, that would be an internal instinct where people realize we have a common goal and objective, let's get it done. And I thought, we spent a lot of money and a lot of time on mental leadership. What happened to the good old days of, I have a job and I want to see my job completed until the end?
Well, I think the argument against it, well, not against that, but to respond to your question is, we live in a world that, where technology runs a lot of things, and our business is always changing because we're in a global economy now. And so I think it's important. I can walk in the door day one and I know my job. But if I want to continue to improve and to grow and make business better for the organization and myself, then I have to train because I have to learn new ways of doing things. I have to increase my skills and abilities, my knowledge, my ways of looking at things. But then we're talking specifically here about turning a technician into a leader, because there's a difference between a manager and a leader. A manager just manages functions. A leader inspires people to do their jobs and to make sacrificial choices and to do things they normally wouldn't have done. They inspire, they motivate. And I think that's what we're talking about here, is turning managers into leaders. I'm not just trying to get you to file your TPS report or how to, you know, plug information into a system, but I want to make you a better person. I want you to be innovative and creative and thoughtful and bring something of value to the table other than just your ability to input data or to move widget X to, you know, position Y.
I agree with the conversation, but I do have to say that, you know, there is a first step. You know, when you first start a job, then yes, you have to learn the roles, you have to know what you're doing and how to do it, but the growth can take place very fast, and a lot of people these days, with all the globalization and the technology, they grow out of what they were hired to do very quickly, and then they have to acquire a lot of new skills. And in order to acquire those new skills, I know at the Health and Human Services, we constantly do what Cordell had mentioned, and we call it details, where people go to different offices and spend 3 to 6 months in their offices to understand what is it that these different divisions are doing and how are they doing it that's better or worse than what we are doing. And that way they improve the efficiency as the work is being done in their own offices. So there's a lot of potential for not just growth, but also learning. And learning takes place in all these different capacities without the investment of any additional outside funds by rotating people in different offices. And they not only learn the different jobs, but they start understanding how the organization is running.
Let me throw out that I will say that there's that whole aspect of your ability to do your work. And I believe that one of the avenues that you can look at this is you become a leader. So you're acquiring, to Cordell's point, skills on how do you influence. You're acquiring skills that are softer, i.e. emotional intelligence. You're acquiring skills such as how do you create a culture. All of those things are not necessarily taught as per se, but you're given that whole situation where your environment of understanding what does emotional intelligence mean and how do you acquire that. And that's where, in opinion, we are hurting not having that type of training on training technocrats into leaders to acquire stuff such as emotional intelligence, creativity, creating the right culture, organizational development, improving, motivating, rewarding the position, and those type of things.
Yeah, I concur. I think some other opportunities that exist would be for senior leaders to mentor junior leaders to help make and shape them into the leaders of the future. And, you know, kind of like executive leadership development, mentorship opportunities. In my organization, we also have another thing that we call a shadow day, where you take a junior leader and you pair them with a senior leader just for the day. And so they hang around with that senior leader for the day, and they get an opportunity to see how things are done. And at the senior levels, you know, where we're talking about the strategic level, not the tactical level. And during that day, that senior leader will talk to that junior leader about ways that they should be thinking in order to move the organization forward. Not technical ways, but more strategic. How do we move this organization from position A to position B? And then those are what we call shadow days. And again, like those mental opportunities. Sure. I would also offer probably one more thing. I think senior leaders ought to get together on a regular basis to kind of hot wash operations, what we're doing, what works, what doesn't work. Take the temperature of our organization. You know, what are we seeing? You know, how are we addressing it? And then you kind of work through those things with your junior leaders. Those are ways that you can train your junior leaders to become senior leaders.
Okay. So we'll just like to, again, thank you for your time on our podcast. I'd like to wrap it up by highlighting some of the golden nuggets that came out of here as it relates to organizations that are facing challenges with budgets for training technocrats. You can create cross-training opportunities for your hired appointed promotions. You can also create shadow dates for your senior leaders to meet for with newer promoted leaders. And then lastly is really creating avenues for the newly promoted so that they can start honing in on their emotional intelligence, being able to develop their strategic skills, being able to become better communicators so that they can enhance, motivate, and create the right reward and recognition for the associates. So thank you once again for your time. We hope you enjoy the second of our fifth podcast.
This came across as 18 minutes and 24 seconds.
Yes.
All right,
so let me
get good job.
Start the next one. Lesson
learned for me. I got a distraction over here, but I thought we're having a conversation, so I thought I could pick what right up.
Yeah.
Did somebody ask me the question when you were like, Frida, where are you?
I'm starting the third one.
Yeah, because we
couldn't hear you.
We couldn't hear you.
We could clearly see you talking, but we didn't know you were talking to someone else. We thought you were talking to us, and I was like, we can't hear her. So.
Okay.
It'll be edited. So
we can restart the third one. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, finish.
Give everybody a minute. So we're at the
dictatorial
leadership. Yeah, versus servant leadership.
That's yours, dude.
Oh, so you stopped this. So this one is done.